Hallelujah. So glad that you're here this morning once again as we just dive into the Word of the Lord. And we continue on a sermon series that we started last week entitled Joseph, A Biography You Won't Forget. Here is a story that you would never believe unless it was written in God's Word. And we praise God because remember we learned last Sunday that everything is written in His Word. These stories, these people's biographies have been written as examples to us to encourage us and to help us. And so we bless the Lord for that. And I'm so glad you're here this morning as we continue on into the second sermon in this series entitled Resisting Temptation. Hallelujah. And I know that you and I can resist temptation as long as we draw closer to God. He draws closer to us. We resist the devil and he has to flee from before us. Praise God. And so this morning, as we just open our hearts and receive the word of the Lord. May it just come to encourage you, to pick you up, to build you, and to raise you up into what Christ has called you to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is not one person who has cast their shadow across this earth who has not faced temptation. Amen? Every one of us has come across the face of temptation in one sense or another. And in every person that has come on this earth, including Jesus, has faced temptation. And if Jesus could overcome, then we too can overcome temptation because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is living within us. Hallelujah. Temptation wears many faces. One, there is the material enticement, and that is a lust for things. We want cars, we want houses, we want boats, we want clothes, we want the flat screen TV. We want things, and I'm not talking about the desire to work at having these things, but I'm talking about the spiritual aspect of it. When it becomes a temptation, a lust, that we will do whatever it takes to get those things. May God help us. Amen. Secondly, there is personal inducement, where this is a lust for personal glory and authority and fame. And this is where we want our name to be up in lights and we want to be the center of attention all the time. Personal temptation. And then there is that third temptation known as sensual temptation, which is a lust for another person, or more specific, for their body. This is that desire to have and enjoy that which is not one's own legally or morally. It's the sexual desire. It's the sexual lust that gets us in trouble. But just before we continue on with Joseph's narrative and him confronting and facing temptation, let's continue with his chronicle. Last week, we left him in a most precarious situation, abandoned by his brothers. He was sold to some mercenaries. And now we find him this morning moving in a caravan towards Egypt. Open your Bibles, if you will, and let's go to Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. Genesis 39, verse 1. And it reads like this. If you don't have a Bible this morning, those scriptures will be up on the screen for you. But I encourage you, buy a Bible. Get a Bible. It is important for you to have God's word in your hand so that you can begin to put it in your heart. Okay? Amen. Okay, Genesis 39, 1. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Joseph, we're finding, is in a new setting, in a new culture, and he is surrounded by new language. We know that he's been sold on the slave block, and a man named Potiphar comes and purchases Joseph. How many of you know that God always watches over us no matter what? And when our hearts are connected to God, I got to tell you, the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be faithful. Amen. Praise God for that. And when we don't understand the full picture, may we have the trust in God and know that He has seen the panoramic view. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. And if we will trust God with our lives, He will see us through. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we find that Joseph is purchased by a man named Potiphar. Potiphar, the Bible describes him as the captain of the guards. He is also been described as the chief of the executioners. This is no unknown individual in Egypt. This man is a seasoned military man with experience, and he has power over life and death. And this is the man that comes to purchase Joseph. I don't know about you, but I just am getting a feeling here that God is up to something. Amen. God has got something up his sleeve. When the second in command, if you will, of all of Egypt comes and purchases Joseph. He's not some unknown individual, but he is a military man. He is at the top of the ladder, if you will. And what we find is that Joseph becomes his slave. But even through all of this adversity, being in a new place, listening to a new language, being a slave, you find in the scripture and in Joseph's story that he not only adjusted to all of this change that is going on in his life, but the Bible is going to tell us and is going to show us that the man flourished. He actually flourishes in these most precarious circumstances. I want you to know that when things come against us that are heavy, when things come against us that we feel that we might not be able to, when God is our God and we surrender to Him, you not only will be able to adapt and walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my dear friend, I want you to know that God will cause you to flourish. Hallelujah. You will be able to walk through this valley of the shadow of death and come out on the other side victorious. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. But now here's the question. Why did Joseph flourish? Why was he able to find success even in a most difficult moment? Well, let's look at it. Look at verse number 2, and we're going to read on from 2 and let's go down through 6. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Now, did you catch that? That first phrase? The Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. I could stop preaching right there, and that's enough to send us home and to be blessed by God and to have success. But I don't want to tempt you, so let's continue on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything that he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Hallelujah. Verse 5. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Clearly, absolutely clearly, the scripture reveals the secret of Joseph's success. And that was that God was with him. And folks, this morning, dear friend, God is with you. Hallelujah. But the question is, are you with God? Joseph knew his God. Joseph had not let go of his God. He had held on to God despite what was coming in his direction and what he was going through. He had purposed in his heart not to let go of God. And you, dear friend, need to purpose in your heart not to let go of God, no matter what circumstances come, no matter what trials, no matter what temptations. Lift up your eyes, because your help comes from above, and don't let go of the hand of God. Joseph didn't have to tell Potiphar that God was with him. Potiphar could see it for himself. He could see the favor of God upon his life. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that when you and I are with God, people begin to see his presence on us. Glory to God for that. You don't have to wear a t-shirt that shouts, "I'm a Christian." You don't have to have a bumper sticker and honk your horn that says, "I love Jesus." You know, when the presence of God is with a man, when the presence of God is with a woman, their actions tell the story that God is with them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's presence in Joseph's life, caused him to have divine favor. I don't know about you, but I want the divine favor of God upon my life. Joseph's faith in Jehovah was recognized by Potiphar because he saw the evidence of that faith in that man's life. Makes me wonder, what was the character of Joseph that it would catch the eye of Potiphar? Potiphar had well-trained men under his authority, and yet a slave boy catches his attention and he grasps his heart. To the point that Potiphar knows there is something about this man that is absolutely different. There is something about him. It's drawing me. It's got my attention. May the presence of God be upon you and me so much that we draw that kind of attention, and that we can also say, "Lord, more of you and less of me." Hallelujah. Ultimately, Potiphar placed all of his affairs under Joseph's jurisdiction. Now that is what I call a promotion. Amen. That is the divine favor of God resting upon you like you have never seen it. When you can go from the pits of a cistern to being in charge of all of Potiphar's affairs, then I want you to know that is truly God is on your side. Amen. From a common slave running the household of this top military man of Egypt. Hallelujah. But take note. If you have a pen, I want you to write this down. This is really important. With greater success comes greater measures of trust, which lead to greater times of unguarded vulnerability. Now let me say that again. Don't miss this. This is absolutely important. With greater success comes greater measures of trust, which lead to greater times of unguarded vulnerability. Are you coming out of a most difficult situation? Is the pressure off of your chest because maybe the secret that you have been hiding and the lifestyle that you've had has been exposed, and now you realize that nobody really hates you and nobody is against you. Everything is out in the open now. Or maybe you are in a place of enjoying the favor of God. A season of blessing has really come upon you. If you are in any three of these situations, one one, going through the valley of the shadow. Two, if you finally have been exposed and everything is out in the open. Or three, if you are on the other side and you're enjoying the blessings of God. Hear me this morning. Beware, because the temptress is waiting for you. I don't mean to give you a bad word or a bad report this morning. I am giving us a warning that we need to be kept aware of our circumstances. Don't find yourself unguarded. Don't leave yourself vulnerable because you have forgot to put on the whole armor of God in your life. Did you notice the last phrase of verse 6? Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. That almost is a phrase that you would think, why did they even put that in there? But it's there because it means something. I looked it up, and in the Old Testament, it's only that type of phrase is only used 4 times. It's used here where we find it with Joseph. It's used with Saul. It's been used with David. And it was used with Absalom. And if you know their stories, then this phrase then becomes kind of important. That he was handsome and he was well built. Listen, folks, Joseph not only caught the eye of Potiphar, but he also captured the eye of a woman. The scriptures waste no words in letting us know that, and neither did Potiphar's wife. Capture this. Look at verse 7. Genesis 39, 7. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. Remember, greater success leads to greater times of unguarded vulnerability. Joseph was ripe for this attack. He was in the perfect mode for the enemy to come in and place temptation in front of him. He had made it through the most difficult season, and now he was experiencing a portion of blessing upon his life. And how many of you know that we can become careless when the blessing of God comes over our life? It's in these moments where it's easy to miss a Sunday morning. It's easy not to pray. It's easy to bypass picking up God's word. It's easy to bypass giving from what God has blessed you with. It is easy to bypass those things because you are now experiencing no pressure. You are experiencing very little heartache. You are experiencing joy and happiness. But let me tell you, people, it is not the time to put down your sword. It is not the time to put down your armor. This is not the time to put it all down. In a matter of fact, this is the time to be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. This is the time that you should be on guard, looking for the devil who is trying to get you to fall, who is trying to bring you down. He will not stop. And here is what we need to say. I will not give in. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. But it is important to be aware of our circumstances. And I pose you this question. What type of temptation might you be ripe for right now? The Bible tells us, be careful if you think you're strong and you're standing on solid ground. And I think we got to take God's word serious, amen? Now here's what I like, is that Joseph responded with equal boldness to the temptation that had come his way. Look at verse 8 and 9. But Joseph refused. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Joseph refused. Say that one more time. He refused. refused. Amen. Tell your neighbor, he refused. Write that word down. He refused. Praise God. We need to get that word back into our lives, back into this culture. This culture has been in the mode of whatever it feels, whatever feels good, just go ahead and do it. But the Bible doesn't give us that ability. The Bible tells us that we are to refuse when the temptations come. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. Verse 9, no one here has more authority than I do. He has held nothing back from me except you, because you are his wife. Now notice these words. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Simply stated, he refused. If you don't remember anything else from this message, remember that when temptation confronts you, refuse. Don't refuse in your own strength, but refuse because God is with you. I want you to notice that he refuses because of two main reasons. Out of loyalty to Potiphar, hallelujah, hallelujah for the integrity of men and women today, that they will not go and cross boundaries that should never be crossed. Thank God for that. And the second reason that he does not fall into this trap is because he is loyal to God. May God help us to be loyal. Amen. May we be a loyal people to God, that when temptation steps itself in our face, that we will say, God, how could I do such an evil thing? I will not do it. And secondly, that we will look around and say, if I were to fall in this temptation, who am I going to affect? Who am I going to hurt by falling into the trap of the devil? And I want to tell you, every time we sin, we don't just hurt ourselves, we hurt people around us as well. And you know, this is a great place where I wish Joseph's chronicle would end. I mean, it is so exciting that this guy confronted sin, I mean, head on, and he tells temptation to its face, I refuse you. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, but the story doesn't end here. In a matter of fact, verse 10 tells us that day after day, Potiphar's wife kept coming to him and asking him to have sex with her. You would think that one solid, strong answer to the devil would be enough. But apparently, sometimes it's not. Apparently, there has to be a place in us where we continue to say, absolutely not, absolutely not. I refuse, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. And that is where you find Joseph, until he kept refusing her till she finally set a trap for him. In verses 11 through 16, the Bible tells us that Joseph entered the house to do his job, and there were some peculiarities going on that particular day. Some things were happening. He should have maybe taken the cue or the hint, but right now I don't want to find him at fault for these things. I just want to point out that the guy was coming into the house to do his job and to do it right. However, there was no one else in the house for the exception of the temptress. And the Bible tells us that as he was walking by, she reached out and she actually grabbed him. And the Bible tells us that he took off running away from her, but in the process of him leaving temptation stayed with a piece of his clothing. Now this scorned wife wanted revenge. And she had the evidence and the status now to produce a lie against Joseph. And when Potiphar got home, she basically said, listen, the slave that you hired to run our household, he tried to rape me, and here's the proof of it. I have got his outer robe. Long story short, Potiphar put him in prison. which let's look at a footnote here for a moment. If he was the chief executioner and had the ability over life and death, don't you think he would have just had Joseph killed? But I don't want to read anything into the scripture, but I happen just to feel here that if Potiphar would have 100% believed his wife, then that would have possibly been the outcome. But maybe Potiphar really didn't believe his wife wholeheartedly. You want to know why? Because sin finds us out. Anything that we do that is sinful, it'll eventually rat you out. Your actions, your demeanor, your words, the things that you wear, the things that we say, the places that we go, they rat us out that our heart is far from God, that our actions are sinful. And so perhaps for that reason, Potiphar simply had him committed into a prison cell versus having him executed. However, remember the reason that Joseph is successful? It is for this cause. The Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph. Here he's confronted by another trial, but we're going to find out that the Lord was with Joseph. So don't go losing hope for Joseph because he's been thrown into a prison cell. In a matter of fact, let's jump down and let's go to verses 21 through 23. Genesis 39. It reads like this. But the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. In the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. Hello, deja vu going on here. Verse 23, the warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a time where you can just let out a good shout of victory. God was with Joseph, and declare it this morning. God, you're with me. Hallelujah. So no matter what cell you're in, no matter what kind of prison you might be in this morning, declare that the Lord is with you and watch God's favor rest upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil may try to take you out, but when God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Oh, man, I want to just shout this morning. God was with Joseph, and God is with you this morning. I want to close by giving you some six steps or six ways to recognize and resist temptation, because all of us go through it. And so I pray that today that you'll be able to capture this, and it'll be able to help you as you are walking down this road of Christian living. Number one, recognize the possibility of temptation. Listen, the Bible says, if you think you're standing strong, beware. The temptress is ready to grab you because you have become unguarded and you have become vulnerable. When you think that you cannot be tempted, watch out, my dear friend, because you are ready for a big surprise, because you have a big target on you that says, hello, I'm not ready, so go ahead, devil, and come and tempt me. Listen, you have to recognize that there is a possibility for you to be tempted. When you go home this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, that'll be a scripture that will help you. The second thing, request help in advance of temptation. If you feel like you're going to be falling into the trap and you're being lured, then you need to ask for help. ask for help before it begins to happen. I don't mean ask so that you don't have to do anything, because nobody can fight your battle for you. You have got to fight it. But there is power in numbers. Hallelujah. There is power in strength. There is wisdom among counselors, many counselors, the Bible tells us. Listen, you got to get some help when you feel that the advancement of temptation is coming your way. Don't wait. Matthew 26:41. Can I just throw this in? When you begin to ask for help, ask help from an overcomer, from someone who has already been there, done that, and is on the other side. If you are struggling with drinking, don't go ask an alcoholic to help you out. They cannot help you out. Amen. I know that sounds funny, but sometimes we do things like that. You need to go and ask help from someone who is an overcomer in Jesus Christ. And number three, resist the devil. Plain and simple, resist the devil. Don't set yourself up for failure. Listen, you got to resist the devil. And if you need to do what Joseph did, then you need to run. Hallelujah. Run and run and run. James 4 and verse 7. And number 4, remove any means of sin away from you. Folks, get rid of items that pull your attention towards temptation. If you've got things in your house and they keep drawing and they keep pulling at those strings that cause you to fall into temptation, that cause you to fall into sin, get rid of them. You might say, oh, but you know, they mean so much to me. You don't know, Pastor, who gave these to me. Listen, if it is going to cause your soul to lose out with God Almighty, then it ain't worth keeping. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. And number 5. Oh, let me give you a scripture for number 4. Romans 13:14. And now number 5. Replace bad influences with good ones. And folks, this is important. Sometimes you just got to cut ties with your old associates. You have got to draw the line and say, I'm sorry, but you can no longer be considered my inner circle of friends anymore. And folks, I know that this is not easy, because emotions have been built, relationships have been built. You have a past with these people. But if you're ever going to have a future, you got to realize that there are some things you got to cut away from your life so that God can advance you forward and you can experience the divine favor of Jesus Christ in your life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:20. And lastly, number 6, resolve to live the high road. Let it be that feeling inside of you, that commitment inside of you, that desire inside of you that says, God, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to resist the enemy, and I'm going to surrender my life to you completely, totally, 100%. Resolve to live the high road. Philippians 4:13. You can do it, people. I'm telling you this morning, it is doable, because Jesus Christ is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or imagine, according to the power that works within you. You're able to live above temptation. You're able not to succumb to the wiles of the devil. You're able to walk victorious. Jesus said that you have become overcomers through him. You are his dear children. And I want to tell you that if we have a mighty God who is an indescribable God, he is mighty, he is powerful, he holds the universe in the palm of his hands, then my dear friend, God will see you through your difficult moments in life. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? If you're here, or you're within the sound of my voice, and you have been struggling with temptation, I want to pray for you this morning. But before I do, I want to ask you, is there anyone here Is there anyone who can hear my voice? And you would say, Pastor Rachel, I need to give Jesus my whole life. I need to surrender myself to Him. I need to ask God through His Son Jesus to come and give me a brand new start in life, to wash away my sins and to cleanse me and to give me a clean slate to start all over. If that's you this morning, would you simply raise your hand right where you're at? God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless every heart and every hand that is going up. Secondly, if you're here and you need deliverance, there is something that keeps you bound and you cannot conquer it in your own strength. I want you to stand up right where you are because Christ is going to deliver you, and we trust the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you raise your hands with me this morning as we go to the throne of God? Hallelujah.